Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Hey, happy Friday, everyone. Kevin Cruz here. Welcome to the LeadX Show. And if it's Friday, it means it's the weekly wrap-up show. Basically, I get to go off the rails and talk about anything I want for as little or as long as I want to. So buckle up, because as I'm recording this, it's just a few days before this air date. And I'm just happy to be indoors again, walking around Philadelphia this weekend. Philadelphia, of course, the greatest city in the world, home of Rocky Balboa. But it was 8 degrees out. And for the first time in, 10 years, I bought a pair of gloves. Like, I hate gloves. I hate jackets. I never wear a hat. But 8 degrees out, it made me go out and buy some gloves. And I am psyched up. I mean, this is the first full week of the new year. I mean, I know it was really last week, but you know, wasn't a full 5 days. And so I think, mentally, this is the week where I kind of am getting it all together. I just polished up the LeadX strategic plan, which I'll probably do a training on this, because it's, you know, I've got a one-page strategic plan that I've used for all my companies for the last, 20 something years. And it's a great way to just think through your approach to what you're going to do. And I've evolved it over the years, and I'm using more of a, they call them OKRs, objectives and then key results. If you type OKR plus Google into Google, you'll see a whole bunch of case studies about how Google really pushed the OKR movement in Silicon Valley. They didn't originate it, but they really used it and still use it with great result. And you could do this with your own life. I mean, I'm looking at my business strategic plan for the quarter. I always work on quarters. If you're managing your business or your life on 52 weeks, man, the world just moves too fast. There's too much uncertainty. So you can have a big goal for the year, but you really need to be managing and plotting and executing on a 90-day cycle, at least, if not monthly. But anyway, you could do these strat plans for your life. I mean, for business, I'm looking down and I've got, a product category, a marketing category, a sales category, an operations category, and a finance category. In my own personal life, it's just health, wealth, and relationships, because I keep it really simple. Health, wealth, and relationships. Other people do the five F's, the family, friends, faith, finances, and fun. I think those are the five F's. Other people do the wheel of life, which I think there's eight things. I think it's an octagon, eight things in the wheel of life. And whatever your thing is, it is a great time to, sure, what do you want to achieve for the year? But really break it down over the next 90 days. What are your five F's? What are your objectives in each one of those? What are the key results? What's measurable? What can you see as a difference 90 days down the road? And then what are the critical tasks that are going to get you there? And if you're already struggling to, hit the gym and that was your New Year's resolution or whatever it is, behavior change is hard, like even in the best of circumstances. And I always go back, I mean, the number one variable is going to be your environment. So what can you do to change your environment to support your behavior change? But then it comes down to pain and pleasure. You know, really focus on the pain of not achieving your goal, the pain of where you're at right now and why you're not satisfied. And then the pleasure of accomplishing that goal, of becoming that person or being that person that you want to be. So again, 1 week into the new year, well, I guess by the time you're listening to this, 2 weeks in, and if you're struggling this weekend, think about how can you make changes to your environment to support your goals, and then focus on that pain and pleasure stuff. Anyway, hey, you know what? I am pretty excited today because I just found out, I'm getting ready to do the review of the week, and I looked up on iTunes, we have 300 ratings. Hooray! If I had one of those soundboards, I'd put like fake audience applause. 300 ratings on the nose today. And the new ones, the new reviews that came in this week, I want to give a shout out to 300LWB, to PLOSF, to John00012, a Gray 04, Timmy P in Wisconsin, Chief B 123, and John Walt 9. All these crazy usernames are on iTunes, and they left reviews for the LeadX show. And friends, it's just my number one plea. It's the number one favor you can do for me. It's the number one way we will continue to build our family, other than telling your friends and forcing them to listen to podcasts, of course, is to go onto iTunes and look up the LeadX show and just click some stars, some ratings. You actually don't have to leave a review. You can just tap the stars and get out, and it will save those stars for you. Or take the 20 extra seconds and write a sentence or two. The review of the week I'm going to read out from 300LWB. I have not missed an episode since the podcast began. Each episode provides well thought out content, and the information is provided in a very succinct way. My favorite episodes are the weekly wrap up, where Kevin tells it like it is. Thanks and keep up the good work. I look forward to what's coming in 2018. 300LWB, thank you again for that that review, and I'm glad you're liking the Friday shows. We've played around with them. I was doing solos. I think the best shows are when I do them with Tara. Sometimes we handle one question, sometimes we handle multiple questions. I'm doing a solo show right now. And to be honest, I'm thinking about not doing them anymore, you know, as a way to just 80-20 rule on this podcast. But when I read a review like this, someone saying they actually like the Friday shows best, then it makes me pause and think, all right, maybe I need to keep doing them. Anyway, 300LWB, thanks. And because I read your review on the air, send us an email, info@leadx.org, and say, yo, send me my free prize. Because we want to send you a thank you, like a LeadX mug or LeadX t-shirt. And everybody that's left a review, if you haven't already contacted us, write a review. And even if we don't read it on the air, contact us, info@leadx.org, and let us know. And we'll invite you into our private VIP mastermind group, our ambassador program on Facebook, where we give away all kinds of other stuff and prizes. So I do have kind of a rant this week, but I'm going to hit a listener question first and come back to the rant. So I got this email from someone named Debbie. She says, I'm overwhelmed by the clutter. I cannot get organized. I don't know what to throw away, what to keep, where to keep it. I've been scanning the file cabinet and current information into the computer, but I'm afraid to throw any of it away for fear of my computer crashing, not being able to retrieve anything. This has caused another problem. Now I can't find things I've scanned, or frankly, anything. I'm very challenged in the office. I'm referring to my home office as I'm retired. Help. Debbie. Okay. First of all, here's the thing. Debbie, you're not going to like my answer. And look, I'm more about productivity than organizational stuff, but I'm a minimalist. And as every year goes by, Debbie, I'm 50 years old. You know, I don't know that I'm ever going to really retire, but as every year goes by, more and more, I value my time and my peace of mind and not about stuff. So my answer is, first of all, let me give you the practical answer for anybody out there. This is kind of like, I guess, I don't know, organizational stuff, computer stuff 101. If you're scanning stuff in and you're worried that your computer is going to blow up, you'll never see it again, just use something like Dropbox. Go to dropbox.com, get a free account, and basically anything that you put in your Dropbox folder in your computer is going to magically be copied up into the cloud. And so if your computer blows up, you log into Dropbox and all your stuff is there again. You never have to worry about it. If you are worried about getting access to your stuff, organizing your stuff so you can find it in the future, use something like Evernote, evernote.com, free account to get started, other things. And that way you can, same thing, upload stuff. It's now in the cloud. It's automatically backed up and you can label it and you could keyword it and you can make folders and knock yourself out with all that kind of stuff. So that's the practical answer. But the bigger impact answer is just throw all that stuff away. Just throw all that stuff away. You're not going to need it. I was influenced a lot by this, by one of Ricardo Semler's books. Now, Ricardo Semler is like awesome. So he is known for turning around this company called Semco Partners in Brazil many, many years ago, decades ago at this point. Took a little company, saved it, grew it into a huge thing. And it was all about decentralized leadership, no rules, self-empowerment, and all that. Now, I actually don't believe that most organizations should go to the degree that Semco did. But, you know, in one of his books, he talks about just throw everything away. You know, do you really, what are the odds you're gonna need that piece of paper again? And if you do need it again, this is in this digital day and age, you can usually get it from somebody else. And so I've been practicing this for years. Like, I don't keep bank statements. I don't keep credit card statements. I don't keep the stuff my doctor sends me even. I throw it all away because, look, if it turns out I need, you know, that bank statement or that, you know, MasterCard statement from 7 months ago or 2 years ago, I can log into my account and get another copy. And even if they've archived it, you can call customer service and they can dig it out of their archives. I mean, what are the odds you're going to need anything? And what I hear people say more than anything is like, well, you got to keep all your records for X number of years for the IRS in case you get audited. Kind of. I mean, like, especially personal, I'm not talking about businesses, but like personal, the odds of you getting audited by the IRS are tiny. And let's say you do get audited. I've been audited. What are the odds that you've done something wrong that they're going to catch or find? I mean, unless you were purposely cooking your books, you know, like probably nothing. The odds if they find anything is that you've made a mistake or they say, hey, you're claiming $1,000 donation to Goodwill. Show us their receipt. And you're going to say, crap, I don't have that receipt because some idiot named Kevin Cruz told me to throw all my receipts away. I'll never need them. And now I'm stuck. You have to ask yourself, what's the worst that can happen? You don't go to jail. The worst that can happen is they say, okay, we're going to disallow $500 of your $1,000 write-off. So now you owe us $125 in more taxes. You know, you don't go to jail. And trust me, whatever the fine is, it's going to be well worth not having to worry about all this crap, you know, on this. So everybody worries about the worst case scenario happening. The odds are it's never going to happen. And if it happens, it's not as bad as you think. So I say, look, you know, for all of you out there, simplify, become a minimalist as much as possible. Every year, right around this time, I look in my closet. And if I haven't worn a shirt or a pair of pants or a sports coat in a year, that's my rule, 1 year, what are the odds I'm going to wear it in the next 12 months? Very low. I mean, you say, oh, I'm going to fit into that thing again, or, oh, I'm going to be invited to another 1920s flapper party. I'll have to keep that crazy flapper dress. No, donate all that stuff. If you haven't worn it in a year, donate it. Get it out of your closet. Simplify your life. God forbid you need something. It's like, oh, shoot, I'm really skinny again. I wish I hadn't thrown out that mini skirt. Go buy a new one. Reward yourself. Buy something new. Anyway, that's my advice is, you know, throw everything out. Don't worry about it. If you do want to keep it, scan it, toss it into Evernote, and that's it. Go to bed. Easy peasy. All right. So here's my rant. It's not really a rant, but it's sort of interesting. You know, so as longtime listeners will know, you know, I'm always talking about the robots are coming. They're going to take our job. That's why we need to be lifelong learners. We need a growth mindset. We need to get 1% better every single day. And, you know, here's a real life example, though, of the counter to it. Well, it's not really even a counter, but it's like how development of technology, yes, it destroys jobs while it creates new jobs. So LeadX is doing that. So for example, right now we are hiring, we have a job opening. Hey, you ever wanted to work for LeadX? Now's your chance. So what are we hiring? We are hiring a conversational UX designer. Now I'll bet for most of you out there, you're like, I've never heard of that in my life. Conversation UX designer. It's UX stands for user experience. So if you've got a tech background or an art background or something, you may be familiar with this idea of a user interface designer, a UX designer or user interface designer in the old days. Now it's experience, but brand new, like just because in the last couple of years, we've got all these chat bots coming out on Facebook Messenger and Slack and all this stuff. We've got voice-enabled devices, Alexa, Google Home, etc. You know, Siri, we're talking to our objects. Well, now, like literally this job did not exist, you know, a couple of years ago. Conversation UX designer. And this is a good point. So while these technologies, artificial intelligence, are destroying and taking some jobs, it has created a whole new job category. We all now need conversation UX designers who are playing in this space. And this isn't something that you can go and study. Like if you got your bachelor's degree, you know, this year, they weren't teaching this job. You don't go to university to get trained for this job. It just doesn't happen. And technology is changing so fast, it's going to be very rare that you will ever get your, you know, job readiness from a university. I'm not saying don't go to university. Great way to grow up, great way to meet interesting people, great way to study great philosophy, etc. But it's not going to get you ready for a job. And so it's this very practical, I need a great conversation UX designer, puts it into perspective. You know, it's not something, you know, our education system is not readying people for jobs. This job didn't exist. So if there was someone 5 years ago that maybe you're trying to teach your kids, oh, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, they couldn't have said this because it didn't exist back then. We shouldn't worry about what we want to be when we grow up, because when we grow up, there's going to be a whole bunch of new jobs that didn't exist. And what's the background for something like this? It's odd, right? So it's brand new. So the people who are doing this job right now, some of them have a background in like game writing and or you know, storytelling from a marketing advertising copy background. Some of them are script writers. Some of them come at it from a user experience design background. So they know all about how to design software to maximize user experience. And now they're adding in, you know, this layer of conversation, of text onto that. There's people that are just self-taught. And this is the thing, like, ideally, I would love to hire someone who's already experienced at this, but there aren't that many of them out there. So I have to be flexible into who I bring on board. And this is where the hustle and the opportunity come into play. You know, right now, if someone contacted me and said, hey, listen, Kevin, I know you'd rather have someone who's already got experience in this area, and I don't, but I spent an hour and Googled around and read a dozen articles and white papers about, you know, tips for writing conversations for chatbots. So I did that, and I spent $100 and bought 5 books off Amazon, including the O'Reilly book, you know, designing for chatbots, designing for conversational user interfaces. And I read all of them, and here's 5 things I learned, you know, to show that I really understand it. And by the way, I created a bot just for you over the weekend, because I went on to chatfuel.com or mannybot.com, or there's a bunch of others, signed up for their free account, and I just dove in and I did it, and you can check it out. So Kevin, I wish I had more experience than that, but you can see I've got hustle, I've got high IQ, I've got passion, and you can see, you know, the quality of my work. So this is something you don't go to school for. You know, this is something that you could just read online, read some books, ask questions in online forums, and then just do it, and then just build it, and that's your proof, that's your portfolio. So anyway, you know, the world's gonna be just fine as the crazy backflipping scary robots come and, you know, take our traditional jobs. People who have hustle, people who are self-starters, people who are learning 1% every single day, people who go out and leave a review for the LeadX show, especially, that shows extra hustle. We're all going to be just fine, but this is just a real world example. AI is destroying some jobs, and boom, here's a brand new job that I'm looking for that I didn't even know existed 18 months ago. Hey, teasers for next week. Come on back. Starting Monday, we're doing more on one-on-one meetings, getting ready to wrap that up. Then we're going to be talking to someone about mindful leadership. Then I interview the CEO of Brightstar Home Care. She built a $400 million a year company in just 10 years. She appeared on Undercover Boss, and we talk about managing with metrics, among other things. And our Throwback Thursday is going to be talking, I think, to Dan Negroni about millennials. So wrapping up, remember, I really do need your help, because I'm on a mission to spark 100 million intentional leaders in 10 years. Your example will inspire others. At the very least, go on to leadx.org today. There's a free leadership training course. This is part of how we are sparking intentional leadership. Anyone around the world, regardless of whether, you know, they have money or their company's going to pay for it or not, they can come and become a little bit of better manager, better leader, more productive by visiting leadx.org today with our free course. Go check out what that free course is. And who do you know that might benefit? You know, maybe it's someone who's still in college. Maybe it's someone who would like to be a boss, but isn't yet. Maybe it's someone who's a manager and could use a little help managing others. Check out the free course of the day and then forward the link to a few of your friends. Remember, Leadership is influence. You're leading at home, at work, with your family, strangers who are around you. Leadership is influence. You need to be mindful of your influence every single day. The question for you, how will you lead today?